Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, brothers and sisters. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Let's talk before going into the Sabbath. I'm Elder Ricosciar here with your weekly Patreon update. I'd like to thank Elder Lawyer for stepping in last week and helping out. But that we're talking about today, a tamed lion, how the system in particular have been watching Judah, okay, to keep us tamed, controlled, to put out negative images as a way of proxy warfare against really against the prophecy, which is the rise of Judah. Okay, I'm going to talk about that today. What can we do? How did they sell us the image of the beast when our people, after chattel slavery upward, was doing fine without them? Okay, so we're going to talk about that and more. You can come on in, 515-605-9327, if you have any questions, okay? But it teaches us, let's go to the Bible first before I open up the PSA that I showed on YouTube, all right? Let's go here to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible real quick, right? The Bible states about Judah, that lion. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Who shall rouse? The Most High will rouse him up. Who shall rouse? Hold on. One second. Hold on. Check, 1, 2. One second, I can't hear. Check, 1, 2. Yeah. Who shall rouse him up? Well, the Most High is rousing Judah up to actually realize our true purpose and power within the earth when we stand in the name of Judah. Judah isn't being a Jew. Judah isn't a religious term or linked to religion. Judah was a man, the fourth son of Jacob, whom Christ would come through. The throne of Judah. We talked about the thrones in the academy for those. You better get in the academy. But Judah was meant to operate in a ruling position, which what? Which sets the trends for the earth, according to prophecy. Right? So now when we examine Judah, he becomes the former of all things. But under the curse, it was written that the Gentiles, if we break God's law, would have the power to eventually break Judah, to stop Judah from progressing. Not just Judah, but all of Israel. They fear Judah standing up. Why? Because once we stand up, the whole world stands up. In particular, the 12 tribes stands up, who are suffering the same as us, as their brother. So when they see us stand, that gives them the courage to do so. Hence the reason why the Gentiles fear Judah taking stance, or they have co-opted the rise and protest of Judah through groups like Black Lives Matter and all these others. They've seen the power of influence when it comes to us rising up with Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and co-opted it. They have used the people they have broken to become the spokespeople for us. Right? So now, It tells us in Deuteronomy 28 and 15 what would happen. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not listen or hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be in the basket and thy store. That's right, folks. Basket and store are our finances. Right? We would live, we would work, but live from check to check. Just have enough to survive. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, our children, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the stocks and the flocks of thy sheep. When our children are born, immediately they're in danger. Immediately there's some people standing over us seeking to poison them or do something to them, our children, right? No sooner as our children come out, they talk about sticking our child with something. You want a vitamin D? You want it? Nah, we good. That's the curse. Our children come into the earth under the threat of being harmed or even worse, killed. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And when you go down to the end, it tells us about the slave ships. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereby I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen. And no man shall buy or redeem you out of this condition. When you break down the Hebrew here, it's redemption. Which leads us to what happened to us in chattel slavery. Buck breaking. And fear of Judah standing up. They would seek to do what? And feminize or break the man's masculinity by raping them. They went beyond what God said they could do. A gay man, according to their war plans, is a broken man. Any man identifying as a woman or loves other men have been broken through social warfare. The last thing, the powers that be fear, is an army of gay men. Hence the reason why, that's right, they had buck breaking in slavery, and they continue that buck breaking till this day, pushing it as choice, when really, it's destroying or aimed towards stopping Judah from rising. The topic of rape of the enslaved African men is one of the African diaspora community. And Africans back home might shy away from. This is because it can hurt male pride. But the truth is that it must be discussed for closure sake. And for history's sake, right? It's talking about, now, those terms have changed in our current time. We hear terms like molestation and others. But you don't know the history of this that causes what? Generational psychological damage. This is how you can get a complicit, strong man or strong woman to comply under psychological programming by breaking them sexually. This is why they educate the broken people, because these people can be utilized as weapons against God and or family, destroying Judah internally. And then they'll put these broken people back in the community knowing the outcome. Understanding the outcome. The outcome is what? Utter decimation against Judah, making Judah a tamed lion. But not just this, the greatest project would be the woman. The father of modern-day gynecology performed shocking experiments on enslaved women. They have statues to this guy till this day, folks. His use of black bodies as medical test subjects falls into the history that includes the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. That's the one we keep hearing about Henrietta Locke. But it was way more experiments than that, folks, mentally and psychologically. And I'm dovetailing off of Who Cloned Tyrone. What they're really showing in that movie is the continued experimentation on Judah. That it never stops. They have hospitals all in our communities and all universities all in our communities. And a lot of these are nothing but hubs of experiments on what? The people who are candidates for their particular studies. What makes them candidates? Well, if they see their profile from school and realize, okay, this child comes from a single parent home, or this child has been abused, and they follow that child through school, medical records, and eventually this child will fall into one of their institutions like jail or juvenile systems or abuse runaway homes, or either CPS will get one of these people up under them, and they'll be in that circular experiment based on the need of the government for them. See? So breaking up families, separating from God, is part of the experiment so they can have more people amongst Judah to experiment with. And molestation and all of that is modern day buck breaking. Okay? And what they've found, brothers and sisters, those who've been molested, not all, but there's a good percentage of those who've been molested who become molesters themselves. And I have to say this, sisters have to be very, very, very careful in particular of whom you let in your home. I know it's not good being alone, but you bring in a male stranger in your home, he has a different intent for your family than you think. He's not going to come in and just play father as if he fathered those children. You bring a man in your home and you got a young girl in there, okay? He don't see no difference between you and your daughter. She's just a younger version of you. Be very careful. Because that molestation leads to what? The experiment on our daughters who become what? Reprobate. Who begin to believe promiscuity is normal. And then the cycle of slavery continue. But instead of it being the white man who was doing it on slave ships, instead of it being the white man who did it, pulling us out of our houses during plantation time. That's right, folks. They just switch roles. It's not the white man doing it, but the black man with the same outcome. This is the experiment they wanted. Doesn't matter if it's a white man or a black man doing it. It's the same psychological fallout on Judah. That was that whole thing with Color Purple when it came to Mr. There was never a character like Mr. existing in our community. What they did was they had the archetype of what the white man did during slavery, only to have Danny Glover playing the role. That's all they did. Everything Danny Glover did and said and acted in that particular satanic production called Color Purple. Please, please, take the black face off of it and think of what happened to our women in chattel slavery. It's no different. They just reversed the roles so that now instead of our sisters would look at who did what to us as an outward enemy, they could now view the black man as that, even though we have never done, we never had the power to do the things Mr. was doing without backlash from the government. So I wanted to put that out there. But yeah, going back to this real quick. Few medical doctors have been as lauded and loathed as James Marion Sims. He's Jewish. Credited the father of modern day gynecology. Now they wanted gynecology because they needed to do what? Focus on the medical system, folks. From the time our children are born, gynecology was so important because if they were going to enact some type of experiment or poison, they would now have the medical apparatus in place to do so. Be it deliver a healthy baby, you have the science to do that, but also you have the science to harm the children who are a threat, who you deem are societal threats. When, that's right, we were birthing our own children in slavery. Credited as the father of modern day gynecology, Sims developing pioneering tools and surgical techniques related to women's reproductive health. In 1876, he was named the president of the American Medical Association, and in 1880, he became president of the American Gynecological Society, an organization he helped found. The 19th century physician had been lionized with a half dozen states around the country. One thing they wanted to push, believe it or not, was more surgeries because hospitals get paid more for surgeries. They wanted, in surgery in particular, they wanted to promote more C-sections, especially when it came to black or Hispanic or North American Indian children. Why? Because you can only have a limited number of children after having a C-section. Under eugenics, you are doing what? You're taking away the number of children per family. Children embolden the name of their families through number. So they started pushing C-sections. They would say, well, the baby isn't moving right, the baby is, but really their whole plan was to have a C-section for surgery and to limit the number of children that woman could have. Right? They started doing all of this, scaring women at birth. Oh, my God, you got to have this test. If you don't have this, something's going to happen to the baby. All of this started from this devil right here. Use fear at a time where women are most vulnerable. Women are already dealing with nervousness and are scared concerning themselves, their health, almost to die having children and worried about the health of their baby, only to have these demons come to worry them on top of it. But because Sims' research was conducted on enslaved black women without anesthesia initially, they weren't even using anesthesia, folks. Medical ethicists, historians, and others say the use of enslaved black bodies as medical test subjects falls into a long ethnically bereft history that includes the Tuskegee syphilis experiment on Henrietta Lacks. Critics say Sims cared more about the experiment than in providing therapeutic treatment, and that he caused untold suffering by operating under the racist notion that black people did not feel pain. That's what they were saying, that black people don't feel pain. And he pushed science journals. He had science journals to actually back his demented, evil science, to where others started to believe that black people had less pain than white people. Science said so it must be. This is what they were doing through science, folks. And my question is, we have diabetes, high blood pressure, and all these sicknesses, And we and our women in particular trust the healthcare system as if they have their best interest at heart, not realizing how this system came to be. They go to the devil right there. Root in the market for enslaved people. Medical journals and others, but I don't want to stay here because I'm going to open up the lines. History that should not be repeated. Time to repeat. Look, they said, listen, if we can change her, okay, then there's no need to engage or battle against the black man. We just have to make a different woman who would support him no matter what. This woman was a different woman. It wasn't about who cheated and all this other stuff. She was like, listen, my man take care of me and my man comes home. And Esau was looking at it like, what? I'm going to back him regardless. I'm going to bury my husband. I'm not going to let another woman take my man. My children are going to grow up with their father. I'm not going to have you people tell me on the outside how my family should be, because at the end of the day, him and I will be in a rocking chair together, laughing about all this on how everyone tried to stop family and legacy. We're going to battle together. Esau seen this woman as a phenomenon. She was a phenomenon because it doesn't matter what happened. This woman stayed behind her man no matter the circumstance, right, wrong, or indifferent. When this woman took a vow, that vow was to the end. From sickness and death till death do us part. And listen, I will never make an excuse or say it's okay for someone to do another person dirty. The Bible is against that. I'm just telling you that the woman before experiment was someone different, as the men are something different too. They said, we need to change the mind of this woman. She's behind her man. We need to program this woman to hate her man, and then we can attack Judah indirectly. We need her to stay there to tame the lion. Why? Because in 1954, before then, we were together, and check this out. It was to a point that they had to sell. They had to sell, brothers and sisters, us to white people. When I say sell, we were producing so well, the businessmen on the outside of our community wanted in. Before I play this, let me take a call, 347, a tamed line. Before I play this, let me take a call, 347.
347
area code.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
How are you? Make sure I'm not playing in the background, please.
Okay, let me turn this off here. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, my first comment is that, sorry, I hit the button on my phone. My first comment is that we were much better off before desegregation. I can remember back in my hometown, I remember we had a couple of small black businesses. I lived next door to the black beautician. There was another black beautician. There was another man that had a restaurant. And I remember a black independent grocer, and then there was one couple that ran a little a place, it was called the Paradise Inn, but it was a little shack where everybody would go. They served, they had a bar, and on occasions they would have bands come through there and have a party in there. There was a lot of thriving black businesses, but there is no more now that, it's been desegregated. And you were speaking about how we made the clothes even for the slave owners. My mother made practically all my clothes. When I was growing up as a kid, I was so thin, I usually couldn't wear the ready-made clothes. My mother made all my clothes. She taught me to sew. And then when I grew up, I even made my husband suits for him.
Look at that.
I mean,
amazing.
I was able to tailor. He had a black pinstripe suit, a gray pinstripe suit, and then even before the tailored suits back in the 70s when they had those the casual suits, I had some made. I made him some out of the knitting sewing. So he, I don't think after we got married, I don't think he bought maybe a couple of sport coats, but he didn't buy any more suits after that. But yeah, and then here today, the money we make, and then we're going to go spend it on these name brands. So if they want Louis Vuitton and all of these other things, they're going to buy this and everything. I said, we need to get our own label stuff. We need to have somebody some Judah stuff that'll be the norm for the designer stuff. And before I go, I just want to mention this. I know you said you were opening a church in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently I saw looking on some property websites and, listings, I just happened to see an abandoned high school that was for sale for only $60,000. Now, I could maybe even house the church there, but I was thinking it would be nice to put in housing for especially our sisters that are going to be put out by these immigrants that are coming in here.
Do me a favor, sister. Let me get your name again.
Cora Corbin.
Cora, okay. School for sale. All right, yes. I'm going to call you no later than Monday, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let me ask you, do you still sew?
Yes, I do. I haven't recently. When I came to New York, I didn't bring a sewing machine with me, but I can sew. Give me a nice sewing machine. I'll be back to sewing. And also, I made all my kids' clothes too when they were growing up, when they were small.
Okay. Well, hey, we're gonna blow the dust off of a sewing machine, and there's some work we can do. That'll happen. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, sister. I'm gonna call you soon.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about. And so I'm gonna show you how great we were doing in the 1950s. How to sell a Negro. Secrets of Selling the Negro. Folks, this was television. You can't make that up. Selling a Negro. A Sarah production. We acknowledge with thanks the cooperation of the United States Department of Commerce in preparing this film. Folks, the Department of Commerce, Finances, was responsible for producing this film. See that? They weren't even paying attention. While they were looking the other way, we became a powerhouse. Like $15 billion, where are they getting this money from? It was like, well, listen, they're working amongst themselves. He says, we looked up after the war, and these people, and folks, this is right after World War I and World War II. They looked up, and we were bawling. And check this out. 97% Christian in the United States. We were going to our own churches. There weren't a church on every corner, folks. We had steeple churches. Right? Up with 90% Christian. Same belief. Following Christ. Coming together every Sunday. Doing business the rest of the week amongst ourselves. Now, it's a neglected market, he said. Now, we don't deem this a neglected market. We're doing fine. $16 billion. We have money to leave our children, land to leave our children. And Esau is saying, how can we come in and steal this? And brothers and sisters, before the internet and others, this was our pastime before bed. I remember growing up, folks. Now, I didn't live during this time, but I remember growing up where there were only two televisions in the whole house. One in my mother's and father's room, and a big one downstairs so that all the children can watch the Jeffersons and all these others together before dinner. See? One place we would all join before dinner, and then we would have dinner and go upstairs. The rest of recreation came with what? The games and all these others we would play amongst ourselves. All right? Television or computers weren't the pastime. And folks, this model of our family, Judah, galvanized the world because they began to see our upward mobility in America beyond their status, and even in Africa, beyond the African status, believe it or not. And what made this in particular a special spectacle for the world, how could we have achieved all of this coming out of chattel slavery? Africans didn't go through what we went through, and we still achieved through it. This was something special with Judah in the Americas. Okay? How did they shake themselves off from all the abuse, all the robbing, all the killing, all the experiments? How did they stay together to move into upward mobility to where the Most High began to prosper them. We never forgot our God. Even though the truth we have now wasn't afforded back then, our people were true believers in Christ. And Christ got us through. And now the devil is looking. How can we break this family up? Let's turn this guy right here into Mr. from Color Purple. And let's now use her as Oprah. Let's use and don't forget, I got the white papers. It was lesbians and Jewish people, Steven Spielberg, Jewish, and lesbians. Women, black women who don't like men, who had an axe to grind with men, who came up with Color Purple to shift the blame off of white men who enslaved our people onto black men when we were with our woman before this. Just imagine that, being a black man and getting demonized for something you didn't do. Where we were victims along with our women, getting back buck broken and destroyed, only at the end to have to be blamed for everything. So what of the slave master? I mean, what a trick right up under our noses. Including all other Americans when it came to producing more as far as percentages goes. We rose from 39 to 1954. I mean, from 39 to 1954 at a rate faster in building wealth than any other race of people or community, and that was including the Jewish community. I need y'all to think about that for a moment. Four times larger than the check they collected in 1949. Now, I'm going to open this up in a moment, but I'm going to open up calls, but I'm going to look at this all the way through. We're only halfway through. I need y'all to check this out, brothers and sisters. $15 billion in 1954 circulating amongst us. Check this out. Upward mobility between 1939 and 1954. In that short span, we made four times the amount within that span. From 1939, we made four times the amount we were making. From 1939 to 1954. At 1954, we made four times the amount only a few decades before then, going well past any other community. No other community was making four times the amount they made during that time span. That means we were upward to financially topple and take over financially above all communities if left alone. This is why they did civil rights. Civil rights opened up more opportunity, but it also opened up immigration that can have others come in to stop that progress, that trajectory we were on to protect ourselves financially as a group. Right? And then here it is now, after the so-called virus, new tallies were made. The common reoccurring statistic in money circulation within communities according to the NAACP and the other organizations, suggest that the black dollar is unregulated. Studies say that the average lifespan of the dollar is approximately 28 days it circulates amongst the Asian community. Almost a month. They can go a whole month circulating money amongst themselves before it touched the white man's hands or any other hands. 19 days in the Jewish community, which means they can operate almost three quarters of a month. They can operate three quarters of a month with the money staying amongst their people without touching another white person's hands or any other group. 17 days in the white community. Check that out. Not too far from Jewish people. And just 6 hours amongst Judah. 6 hours within the black community. That means our dollars circulate 6 hours. And keep in mind, folks, we sleep 8 hours out of a day. All right? So out of 24 hours, our money stays 6 hours amongst ourselves before it goes to everyone else. Their plan was to segregate and then dilute the market by under immigration, under minority, to have all these others come into our community to stop our businesses. This was the plan of the government. It wasn't about just finding another market to tap from for businesses. It wasn't about that. It was, how do we destroy this from ever happening again? While we were looking the other way during World War I and World War II, these people have built stability, doctors, lawyers, colleges. Their children are highly intelligent, and all the money stay within their communities, $6 billion, 24 hours a day. We need to bring more doctors in, eugenicists. We need to make them sick. We need to bring in, let's conspire and bring in all of these immigrants to come in and rip them apart. They'll become their scientists, they'll become their doctors, and they'll work contrary to Judah's initiative to stand as a lion. And at the same time, we're going to create dissension in the media between the black man and black woman so that Judah never rises. If Judah rises, the whole deal is done, because all the other tribes will begin to follow their trend and stand as they once stood as the children of Israel. 757 area code, before I play the rest of it. 757.
Yes, sir. Shalom, Elder. How you doing, sir?
I'm blessed by the blessed best. Good to hear you, Andre. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. It's a blessing to be here, man. I'm going to tell you, Elder, you, y'all bring the mode every single time, man. It's interesting because I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet. The parallel.
No, go ahead. You had all the time you want. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The parallel between, I'm sure you, of course, because of the academy, the pattern of evidence, right? The archaeologists went into the city of Goshen that Joseph created, and they saw that the Israelites were so successful in this one city. This one city was the most successful part of Egypt at that time. This one city was the most successful part of Egypt, so the Egyptian government devised a plan to destroy the Israelites socioeconomically, socially, mentally, spiritually, in all those orders. And then, of course, we fast forward, the same thing is happening in America. It's like our people, we can't, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. We can't get out of this rotation. And I find it very interesting, Elder, like you said, the way they sell it, this inclusion thing with our people. I'm going to speak on that in a moment, but this inclusion thing that we fall to every time. I'm listening to the video you showed us, and the way the brother is explaining it is like he's convincing a white man not to be prejudiced against us. He's saying, no, go do business with them because they're good people, not realizing it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. They want to do business with us to stop the dollar from circulating in our community. They don't want to do business with us because they, you know what I'm saying, because they're not prejudiced. They want to take that dollar out of our community. So it's extremely interesting when you watch the Black Lives Matter and the image they put out. When you watch all these so-called liberal organizations that take over the mind and the ideologies of the men and women in our community today, all of it is inclusion when in actuality is doing nothing but stealing resources from our community and then putting it in other communities. They tell the black man and the black woman to hate each other and to not operate with one another, but then they tell the black man and the black woman to depend on everybody else socially, mentally, economically, and all these things except their own people. And it's very interesting. And it's like I go back to the Garden Elder. You know how in the Wisdom of Solomon, I don't want to misquote, in the Wisdom of Solomon says, "For the devising of idols was the beginning of spiritual fornication, and the invention of them was the corruption of life." And I look at our community, and when you go back to the garden, you saw Eve make herself an idol because she had to go get something that her man couldn't give her. She had to be included in, I guess, whatever the serpent was giving her, you know, the idea of that she could be a god or the knowledge that she could have with God, like something that her man couldn't give her. They teach that same idolatry in our community. So now our women are idols, and now our men are their own separate. Everybody's separate. We're all trying to go get something and say we don't need each other to go get it. That's foolishness. There was no point in time in creation where a woman ever existed without a man. So you need a man. You were created to be here to serve with a man. And there was no time in creation where Adam didn't have to work to serve and provide for his wife, like the example you gave on YouTube before you came to Patreon. So I think it's extremely interesting how they've divided us. They've turned us into our own idols. So now we constantly commit spiritual fornication, and then we go commit financial and social fornication against one another by building with everybody else but ourselves. And it all started with that spiritual fornication. And I think it's profound that you guys bring out that pattern of evidence in the academy the way you do, because it shows us that there's nothing new under the sun. They don't have to think of anything new to get us because we keep falling for the same tricks. And it's just interesting when I watch it. And last thing I'll say, even that new Barbie movie that's completely feministic and satanic, you look at the kind of men that they teach in the movie that the women like, those are the men that the women actually hate, because they say, okay, these men are irresponsible, these men are not accountable, these men are not providers, these men are not protectors. But then you tell that man, the moment he steps into that position to be a provider, protector, and he sets boundaries, oh, no, no, that's the patriarch. I'm done, Elder, I'm done. It's crazy.
Yeah, what a contradiction. But see, it was meant to keep a circular argument to no end.
Yes.
Okay. The whole thing is, you hear, there's no protection. We need protection. But protection entails that you're under subjection, or you're under the subjection of a hedge.
Yep.
Well, exactly. A hedge comes with rules. You can't be out there not under protection, leaving yourself vulnerable to get utterly decimated, and then look at us and say, well, hold up, black men aren't protecting us. Or if we try to protect you, you can't, if you call that controlling. So you can't say protection, protection, and you over Dubai driving a bus in the midst of Sharia law, arguing back and forth, you know, arguing back and forth with people all their life who lived for thousands of years under a patriarchal system. And now they throw you in jail only for you to say, well, hold up, black women aren't protected. No. If you fly into another man's realm, you have to fall in line.
You do.
So that's another thing of this backwards way of us getting blamed for everything after the consequences ensue. After there's a consequence for your actions, then you come around and say, I need protection. But if we try to protect you, we're controlled.
Exactly.
We're insecure.
And that's the point.
We're insecure.
Exactly.
The insult. The insult. Oh, no, you're insecure. No, it ain't insecure. A man is supposed to set boundaries.
Exactly.
Your girl trips is against God.
Come on.
Okay.
How
you
can
can't say I want a girls trip and then you want then at the same time you come around and say I need protection. Doesn't make any sense. But go on.
Exactly. No, and I'm sorry, Elder. You bring in wisdom. That's the point I make. Even with the example you made with the sister that went to Dubai and got locked up, it's
yeah.
like, how can I properly protect you? How can I properly protect you if I don't give you these boundaries? As the man, it's my job to go out to explore, to go on adventure, to see the danger that you may not see. And I come back with these boundaries for your own good, the same way the Most High did for the children of Israel. These laws weren't just to control us. These laws were to set us apart, to protect us. So as a man, when I come back into my household and I say these are the boundaries in which we will live by, and these boundaries are set in order to make us the most successful as we possibly can be, and you come back and say, oh, I'm insecure and I'm controlling. But then you go into the white man's arena, you go into the Arabic man's arena or whatever arena, and you abide by those boundaries in the workplace because you understand that if you listen to those boundaries there, you'll climb up the ladder. Why not climb up the ladder with your husband spiritually? What's the difference between you showing up every day to a job to serve this community and put your dollar in that community versus showing up every day to serve your family? One is more fruitful than the
Great
other,
point.
And it's not the one that you think.
Great point.
It's
and
crazy.
At the end of the day, I have something on the screen that shows I couldn't imagine this woman who just prepared a nice meal for her husband, who her husband is sitting there in a soup she probably made. Can you imagine she say, honey, pass me the biscuits and butter real quick. And by the way, me and my girls are going on a girls trip.
me and the girls going down to Miami
listen,
for a couple of days.
listen, that would be unfathomable in this time. I mean, she couldn't even fix herself to even think like that. It wasn't because
exactly.
she was controlling or someone was forcing her to be obedient. She had morals.
Exactly.
She had morals, and on top of that, there was honor in her position.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, every time that society seeks to look back at this time, they try to paint a picture of some crazy black man abusing women.
Mm-hmm.
I digress. Thank you, Andre. I appreciate it, my brother. All right.
Bless you, Elder. I appreciate
all
what you do, man. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Very poignant point. Let's go to the next call, and then after that, we'll see the rest of this. 24252 area code. Attain
Shalom, mind. Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself, sister.
I'm doing well. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. You sound absolutely perfect.
Okay, great. So I first wanted to say it is an honor and a blessing to be within this church. And I want to say thank you so, so much for the continued edification that you give towards women and men. Like earlier you said, you know, not every woman is a feminist or whatnot to try to like go over
yeah.
a man, but in certain areas the woman's got to do what she's got to do if the man is not equipped. But that doesn't mean that every man is not up to par, but it's, you know,
exactly.
it's, you got to see who you're dealing with. And like I tell a lot of younger ladies, it's like, you know, you like the man, he's nice, this, that, and the third, but you have to think long term. Don't look for happiness, but look for joy. Happiness is usually short term, while joy is usually long term. So, you know, forget about, you know, your knight in shining armor, and you're not a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
I try to tell you, you know, your women are, we're very powerful. We have lots of power, but what we're given as being women has to be tempered with wisdom of how to walk righteously with it. Because a woman can build a man, break a man, and the same way she can build the future, destroy the future, and in her current stance, if she's not building a better tomorrow with the offspring, then it's not going to do anyone any good.
Yeah, let me tell you, the woman is powerful. She's always been. This is why They took a concerted effort to focus on her. And I'm speaking of the scientists, the eugenicists, those of high academia. They say, this black man, he's stubborn. But we have to work on the side of this pair who could be controlled through fear. But go on. You have the last word. And that's what they did. They worked on it. And it's unfortunate. But you know what? A lot of our women are breaking that programming and saying, guess what? We've tried every other thing and it's not working. We're coming back under the hedge of God. And you fooled me once, shame on me, but we're coming back. That's why I thank the Most High for women like yourself who's calling in and saying, listen, men, we've made mistakes. Women have made mistakes, but it's time for the lion and the lioness to get on cold one with another. But go on. You have the last word.
So at the part about women talking about they need protection, a quick scenario here. So when my husband was thinking about marrying me, he took me to go see his family members who happened to live in New York. And he instructed me. He's like, okay, I'm gonna show you the Big Apple. So when we get off of this train station and go up, I do not want you to ooh and ah and wow and, you know, because of the lights and whatnot. Do not do that. It makes you look like a tourist. You're going to get us in trouble. I was like, okay, cool, got it. As soon as I came out the tunnel and seen the lights and Times Square and everything, I lost it. I was like, oh, my gosh, look at the lights. So beautiful is this. And my husband turns it on, pulls my head down. It's like, didn't I tell you not to do that? You keep on walking. And there's a man that was holding his face. He was literally holding his face. Blood was dripping all down. And I was like, oh, my gosh, we got to go help him. He yanked me, hurt my shoulder. I was like, oh, my gosh, why would you do that? Before he could even say a word, there was a gentleman in front of us on his phone talking about, yeah, I got him. The hairs on my neck stood up. My eyes grew wide, and he held on to me. He's like, that's why I told you to just mind your business when you're in the Big Apple and don't look around, look like a tourist. I did not listen to him, which could have led to both of us losing our lives, depending on what the situation was going on at that time. But, ladies, you have to put yourself in subjection and in order to have protection. That's all.
Great point. I really appreciate it, sister. Really appreciate it. All right. We're going to take more calls. I really appreciate it. You can stay on the line. I'm taking more calls as we go. 515-605-9327. How to sell a Negro. Let's go. Now, I need you to look at all of these areas, brothers and sisters. Chicago, Philadelphia, Houston, San Francisco, California. I need y'all to examine that and look at a few years ago, when the riots broke out in our cities under George Floyd and others, led by a Marxist organized protest through Black Lives Matter to further destroy these areas our people had a stronghold in, only afterwards for the insurance to come in under Joe Biden with the insurance to build up these areas in preparation to progress the regentrification program that they had in place beforehand, before George Floyd. Now all of the immigrants are coming in to take what was left of the areas our people once controlled financially. Look at this. Wake up, Judah. New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Detroit, New Orleans, Memphis, Birmingham, St. Louis, Atlanta, Houston. Los Angeles. It cannot, no product can become number one without Negro support. When we buy it, everyone else buys it. Look at Jordans. You think it was the, you think it's the other races of people that are making Louis Vuitton such a popular bag? When we buy, Judah is a form of all things. Once we buy, the world buys. So when it comes to influence, the Bible prophecies concerning how we, who we are, guess what? It pans out. How can we use that influence and that power for our advantage now? 515-605-9327. Man, look at the class, the sophistication. When we stand in honor as the Most High made us, folks. And I remember my mother, my grandmother, I remember my grandmother dressing like this. Hair crimpled up, have the little tissue in her hair as rollers. And then let it bounce out the next day, just hanging. My grandmother had hair all the way down to her shoulders. I mean, all the way down her back. How the girls had long pigtails and always they would dress alike in these sundresses. Remember that? Boy, did they take so much away from us or program us into this toxic satanic image of the beast. What does the Negro customer buy? Why? How do you sell to them? You notice they never promote the high quality that comes with our people naturally as far as seeking what? The status of royalty. When we look back at this time, it's about railroading Al Sharpton talking about someone getting beat or locked up. But our status, the expectation of excellence is rarely promoted for this time period in our current times. Do you realize that? They say, how do we sell to the Negro? Well, the Negro, he seeks the highest quality of everything. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's why the Bible talks about Judah, the scepter, the king. It's innate. It's in our spirit. It's in our spirit to desire or want the best for not just ourselves, but our family. And And see, I cannot wait to show this to my girlfriends. As much as things change, they stay the same. Where do you get that from, girl? Listen, highest quality. Right? I can't wait to show this to my friends. So it's not just us buying it for ourselves. It's also to share status with those around us. Okay. Now, Satan views this negatively through what? That's right. The push of vanity. Okay. There's a healthy acquiring of things. But when it becomes vanity, I'm here to show it off, to show I got something you don't and others. That's when things began to roll downhill, right? But if it's to share with others your experience, then that's healthy. It's nothing wrong to want the best for you and your family. Hold up. What the friends think about it. What? Listen. Brothers, listen to this. What the friends may think of a certain item often decides whether or not the sale is made. Brothers, that's including when they choose a man. It's important how others close to them think about you on whether or not they'll be with you. Unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Look how they've studied us, folks. A woman is not going to buy anything that she feels her friends would be dissatisfied with or would believe it's in poor taste. They have psychologically profiled us to the T. Right? They've studied us. Thank you. They've studied us, folks. When men go into a store, we already know what we want. How did they know this? When we go into a store, we go to pick out what we want and we're out of there. We're not window shopping. We're not trying to figure things out. No, listen, brother, I don't want that. If I wanted something, I would tell you. They studied us, folks. When we go into a store, we already know what we want. Don't try to oversell or you may lose this sale. Look at that. How far we're falling. In 1954, everything we did was as a group. Why? It was desegregation. We weren't going to be individuals out there by ourselves with these others seeking to harm us and other things. No. Everything we did as a family. When it was time to take the family picture, we would stand all together with the children there or whatever the case is. We go shopping, we do it together. Now, why am I going here off the back of, I hope y'all haven't seen this yet. If y'all seen it, I'm not going to spoil it. Off of the back of Who Cloned Tyrone? Well, what I'm seeing here are a people to be reckoned with in comparison to any other prestigious group no matter where in the earth, whether you're East Indian, Asian, white, it doesn't matter. Our families back then were what? A people to be reckoned with. So this is why I did this on the back of Who Cloned Tyrone, because they had to continue these experiments to eventually erode at Judah and destroy the image of Judah. You understand that? Through their experiments, where now you would see less of what our people used to be. When it comes to the gutter image they're promoting now, folks, those things were separated from us altogether. Those were back alley activities that didn't, that could never define who we were as a people back then. The strippers and the people selling themselves and all these others. The gay life and all these others. Those were pushed away, back alley activity, and that represented only the minority, the minimal minority of our community. And they did an end around. We have to get around this Bible. We have to get around this family thing, or these people will overtake us. We must incentivize the backdoor alley scenario and make that the image that will eventually destroy or topple the honor, the high level of integrity that we're witnessing amongst the rise of Judah. We cannot destroy a people with this type of image. Not only are they protected as a family, their God is protecting them. They're too moral for us to go against them without receiving international backlash. If we were to destroy these people in this image, how can we represent, how can we be the moral sound country to dictate legislation over the earth if we were to destroy such a clean people outright? We must destroy their image first. How do we get back? How do we get back to what we once were, if possible? 252 area code. 252.
Elder, I was already on. I was just listening in.
I'm sorry. Let's go to the next one. 402. 402.
Elder, I was already on. I was just listening.
I'm sorry. Let's go to the next one.
Shalom.
Elder? Shalom, turn me off in the background, please.
Yes, sir.
How are
you? Is that
better? Your name? Yes, excellent.
Sydney.
How are you?
I'm good, Elder. How are you?
I'm blessed by the best. The floor is yours.
Okay. I just want to give all praises to Ahaya and for being great and for the church. And I just wanted to thank you and all the elders for the work y'all have done. I wanted to mention the gynecology stuff that you had mentioned earlier, the article.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, in maybe my first or second academy, some of the sisters, we got to talking in the chat, and the Most High had dropped in my spirit to look up to start being a doula. And so I've just started working in that area and kind of having challenges with it and feeling like it was a spiritual battle when I would need to go into the hospital. And so I was really weeping, actually, when you were sharing that. And I just wanted to say thank you. And I also work in child welfare as well. So a lot of the things that you're saying.
Explain to me, when you said you were weeping when I was talking about what women have to deal with in the healthcare system, why were you weeping in particular? Why? What was the reason for that?
Well, because I was understanding that attack on us, but also because since I've gotten in this field, whenever I tell people that I'm a doula, they start to tell me about their birth experience, and it's like I
said this yesterday. Exactly what is that? You are a what?
A doula.
What's a doula?
So I'm a birth doula and a postpartum doula, so I assist families in birth,
okay,
and labor and delivery, and then
birth.
Also...
Okay, okay.
Yes,
another
sir.
Name for that in ancient times would have been a midwife, right?
Yes, it's very similar. So a doula is like a nurse to a midwife. I don't have any medical
okay.
qualifications to deliver birth by
okay.
myself, deliver a child.
But you assist with births. But go on.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so just most women of all colors, all races, all ages, their birth consisted of trauma. And the way that the medical system operates is completely against everything natural that we can do as far as decisions for our families, but our bodies and our birth experience, and even just from them touching the baby first when the baby first is born before the family members, among other things. And so, and another space that I work in child advocacy, a lot of people are speaking now about changing the system but they're saying that the system is operating in the way it was designed. And so we know where I live in Nebraska, the highest numbers of children and families affected by child welfare are Black and Indigenous families. So, you know, our people. So Issachar, Judah, and Gad. And we have a high Native American population here, obviously, as well. So I just wanted to share that and say thank you.
Well, thank you, sister. And thanks for all you do to help our people. And there couldn't be a better place in the position of when our children are born into the earth by these strangers who are seeking to harm them. So thank you and help our people. And not just our people, any person who's having a baby, whether it be our people or another race of people, help the child. The Most High Christ is for the children. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Kind. I'll
bless you.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. And I have to say this also, that even during ancient times, up until our present time, there was no such thing as a mother having a baby laying on her back. It works against the gravity. If the baby has no way of naturally coming down, they can now put more pain on the woman's back and then tell the woman to do things against her normal decisions, how she would normally decide outside of the pain. See, they use the pain to actually promote whatever they would like to do next to the woman. Oh yeah, the baby's not moving. The baby this, the baby that. Well, gravity hasn't taken its place. This is why normally they would say walk around like in ancient times so that the baby will find its way with the gravity. So you're saying the baby is turned the wrong way, but the baby cannot turn with you sitting there on your back like this. You have to stand up so that the baby can find its way, and the baby will in time. And they know this. In ancient times, there was a stool where the midwives would stand while the woman would squat, and it would be two women holding the woman standing up due to her weakness, so that the baby could find its way down through gravity. And they purposely came up with the science. These gynecologists, these scientists, no, do not let them stand on their leg. The longer they're on the back, the longer their labor, the longer their pain, the longer the stay in the hospital. And then we can use the pain to force them into other things we're talking about, having a cesarean section and all C-section and all these other things. You need epidural and all of these things and move now. What ching 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 ching? It's all adding up because the woman is on her back. A few more. Let's finish out. How to sell a Negro? How to sell a Negro? Few more minutes. Oh, yeah, and back here, folks, we owned our own convenience stores, too, by the way. We owned our own convenience stores. These corner stores that you see on the corner that became Asians and all that, those were our stores, folks. Or immigrants came over. A lot of those stores were our convenience stores. That means they couldn't sell in our community like that. They couldn't do it. Those were our convenience stores, a lot of them. See that? He shook his hand and now he's able to stack his Quaker Oats on our shelves. See? Prize fighters or singers, hold up. Look at that. Brothers and sisters, that number is in the trillions now. We're still spending, but nothing are we doing to keep any finances for our children within our communities. Money is a defense, and it's time we understand our power. They do. Okay. The Department of Commerce, out of nowhere, after two world wars, looked up out of nowhere, and there were some people in the United States that were circulating $15 billion amongst themselves. Right? So it's time for us to understand that they have tamed the lion, okay? They have tamed the lion. They've done what they could to stop the lion from standing up. And I'm not just, what I'm talking about is what? I'm not saying that there's something negative concerning other people. If they've taught us anything, there's nothing wrong with first standing up for ourselves. And if we cannot support each other financially, they win. And I wanted to put this idea out there, brothers and sisters, because kingdom building isn't just reading the Bible. There's laws of fiscal responsibility when it comes to preserving our nation according to the word. That we must become more conscious. Get what? Get into ingenuity. Get into things that can profit our homes so that we as a people can support one another. It's not to say that we can't buy with other people. These other nations, They definitely buy after 19 days, 20 days circulating amongst them, their people. But they make a concerted effort to support one another first, which is the key. With that, I can open up the lines for 2 to 3 more minutes, and then, that's right, this concludes our Patreon update for the week. This concludes that, all right? If you have anything to say, we have a few minutes before the lines cut out. If not, then you can have a good night and enjoy the Sabbath. I'll be back tomorrow, 12 noon, on the Sabbath to teach. Now, if you want to support the church, these weekly broadcasts, I thank you for being loyal Patreon members. When it comes to Patreon and what we provide, when it comes to access, we went down to one of the lowest monthly payments, which is only $5 a month. With Patreon, we could charge really up to $20 a month or more under Patreon, but we're going to keep it to $5. Don't worry about that. But we do ask that you continually support the church. For our broadcast in particular, these Wednesdays, Patreon, as well as Sabbaths, you can support on top of what you've already supporting by going to $GOCC144Donate. $GOCC144Donate is a Cash App. Whatever you can do, small or big, it doesn't matter. It helps our weekly broadcast. If you don't have Cash App, it's okay. Go to gatheringofchrist.org under donate, and I'm sure there's an option you'll be able to utilize to help further the work. All right? All right, I guess that concludes since there's no more phone calls in queue. With that, I'm going to say shalom. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up, sin not. And Judah, Israel, all together under Christ, realize they're watching us. They've always been watching us. Okay? But it's time to navigate from their destructive tactics against us. The experiments are real. They've been experimenting with us since off the slave ships. But the only way to withstand their calculated destructive initiatives against us, the only way to beat them, folks, is to get back on board with our God. Open up this book, follow it. The law, statutes, and commandments, moral, civil, dietary, and ceremonial. It's time for us to come back as God's people. And you know what? He'll establish us again like our forefathers once were. With that, shalom. Have a pleasant Sabbath. I'll see you tomorrow at the Sabbath service. Shalom.